there are some messages that we hear that inspire us, that encourage us. There are some messages that change us, and there are some messages that have the potential to save us. And this is one. This is one of these. If you get this and you understand this and you let God speak to you, this has the possibility and the ability to save you, to keep you out of dangerous situations, to keep you out of situations that could destroy you. And so we are continuing, or actually launching our series, How to Start a Fight. We kind of launched last week, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to start by asking a question. How many has ever been to our church website? Okay, a few? All the time, yeah. We have a really well-functioning website. Let's just put it that way. A lot of people check out our website. A lot of people attend from checking our website. So it was quite some time ago, we noticed some performance issues on our website. So I was getting some emails, something's not acting right, something's kind of a mess. And I really didn't think anything about it because, honestly, I wasn't worried about it because we are a small church with a website, right? We're not doing any transactions online. We're not storing credit card information online. There was absolutely no value of what I could see of any malicious behavior, you know, on a church website. I mean, when you think of high-value targets, a faith church website does not rank on anybody's list. And so, you know, I wasn't really worried about it. But we kept getting these messages. And then one day I tried to look at it, and the site was down, completely down. And there was these little words across the top of the page: "This site has been hacked." All of this time, our site was under attack, and I had no clue. Now, there, as I found out later, there are other things of value to somebody who would do this thing that makes our site valuable to them. It's not like they're going to steal transactions or credit cards, but there's other things of value. And I was totally unaware that we were on attack. And the thing that makes us crazy is this: we had tools and we had the ability to stop the attack. But since we didn't even realize that we were under attack, we never deployed that solution. We never put that software into place because we're going, he's going to attack this site. Okay, come on. This is not hacker fodder here. Okay, we're a low-risk thing. Even though we had the tools, even though we had the solution, if we would have known about it, it could have saved hours and hours and hours of trying to rebuild and put back together and launch this thing again because we had it. Now here's the thing. There was nothing wrong with our methods. There was nothing wrong with our solution. The problem was is we didn't realize that we were under attack and didn't act accordingly. Now here's the flip side of this. We are still attacked hundreds of times a month. It's crazy. I get a report every week of how many times that we have been attempted to get hacked. And I just looked at here last week's, and 178 times last week, everybody from Pakistan to Russia to Finland to India to North Korea to China, you name it, there's a whole list of people trying to get at faith, you know, myfaith.church. But here's the thing: we know it, we're expecting it. And therefore, we have rolled out the proper measures, and we're stopping it. We're stopping it. As soon as we rolled out the proper measures, we realize we're under attack. We have the solution. Now here's the thing. Anytime that there's a conflict, being surprised or being unaware is the absolute worst position to be in. Okay, the element of surprise is such a huge advantage in a fight, and that's why deception is so much a part of conflict. Okay? If they don't know they're being attacked, then they won't do the things that they could do to protect themselves. They just think everything is fine. Okay, they don't realize that the enemy is creeping up on them, about ready to come at them, but they have no clue, and therefore they're not prepared, even though they may have everything that is needed to defend themselves. But because they're unaware, because they're surprised, because they didn't realize that there was a fight going on, that in most cases, the element of surprise is the thing that tips the scales in favor of the one that surprised. Now, it's true in war. Okay, that's why the military invests in such things as stealth bombers. Okay, and it can't hear them. Okay, camouflage, all these high-tech things. Why? The element of surprise is so important. It's true in war. It's true in business. Okay, and if you've ever worked at a place where, you know what, we don't reveal what we're going to do. We hide that. We keep these things close to the vest. There's such things as, you know, business intelligence and a whole element of espionage when it comes to business because people want to find out because surprise is such a big thing. It's true in war. It's true in business. It's true anywhere there's a conflict, and it's true in your life because the truth is this, that you are under attack. Turn and tell somebody that. Say, you're under attack. Now, we touched a little bit on this last week. The reason is you are so incredibly valuable. So turn to somebody else and tell them you are just incredibly valuable. You are incredibly valuable. You are incredibly valuable. Okay? We looked at some scriptures last week that tell us this, that your value, the value that you have, is more than the cumulative collection of everything that this earth has. That if you were to take and have everything that there is, you would still be more valuable than that. You are extremely valuable. You are the most valuable. And because you are of such high value, there is a conflict for you. You are the center. You are the focus of it. And the problem is, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight, many people are under attack because of that high value, because they are so valuable. You are under attack and they don't realize it. Just like our website, all of the things that you could defend yourself with, all of the things that God has given to defend, to protect, to do what is needed, but because you are unaware of what is going on, we miss it, we don't deploy it, we don't act that way, and as a result, we find ourselves on the losing end or on the battling end, the surprised end of an attack that we didn't see coming. And that God gives us a plan. He says, when you're under attack, this is the way that I want you to act. This is what I want you to do. But we are unaware so oftentimes that we're under attack, and therefore we miss the opportunity to behave the way God tells us to behave, and we miss it. Now, here's the thing. God wants you to be aware. God wants you to know what's going on. Turn to somebody and tell them. God wants you to know what's going on. Look at this verse. He wants you to know. Look at this. First Peter, he says this. Stay alert. And that's not just for Sunday morning people, all right? That's not just stay awake in church. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great what?
Enemy.
Your enemy. The one that is trying to attack you. The one that is after how because you are so valuable. Stay alert. Watch out. Be aware. Watch out for your great enemy. Who is it? It's not the IRS, right? It's who? It's the devil. Okay? Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone, and that someone being you, to devour. He says, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be taken by surprise. Be aware. Understand what is going on. There is a battle for your soul. And he says, look, I want you to be aware. And this series, this How to Start a Fight series, is going to show us exactly what we need to do when there's a fight. God gives us a plan. He says, look, when there's a conflict, when there's a fight, this is the way you go about it. You follow these steps to ensure victory in your life. But here's the thing, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. If you're not aware that there's a fight, then you're going to be just like us on our website, that we didn't deploy what we have. You won't do what God is telling you to do and put yourself at great risk because there's an enemy coming after you. We can have all the right tools, but because we're unaware of it, we miss it. God promises us victory, and yet, how many times have we seen life after life destroyed? That people who once had a relationship with God fall away. Is God weak? Is God not able? God is able. But how many times have we seen people deceived and didn't realize that there was something in their life that had the potential to destroy them, the potential to pull them away from God, and they acted like nothing was different, and they just went through life the same, and they're no longer walking with God. They're no longer a part of God's kingdom. But that's not what God wants for you. God has given us everything that we need to have, but we need to be aware. And so tonight, we're going to learn how to identify the fight, all right? We're going to learn how to identify the fight. So turn to somebody and tell them, we're going to learn how, if there's a fight. We're going to learn if there's a fight, all right? You're going to learn if there's a fight, okay? This is relevant. This is real. This is, I want you to benefit from coming tonight. This is real because it's for all of us. There's no exclusion clause, all right? There's no neutral zones in spiritual life. There's no Switzerland's where we say, oh, we're not on any side, therefore the devil isn't going to attack us. No, I'm sorry. You're valuable. You're under attack. This is for all of us. For the new believer, for the veteran, everybody, all right? We need to know. Okay. Now here's the thing. We struggle to recognize oftentimes when there is a spiritual fight, when there is a spiritual battle going on, that oftentimes we struggle to truly recognize that. That's why in Scripture, he tells us, stay alert. Be aware. There's a tendency for us to miss it. Now, we can miss it on both sides. There are some people that see the devil in everything, right? That everything's a spiritual battle, that the devil is camping out in their backyard, that they're casting demons out of their cars and computers and iPhones. Okay, it's just like one big thing after the other. And they you know, devil is this, and he's chasing me, and my utility bill went up because the devil's sucking out electricity from my house, and he's just after me. And they fall on the side of thinking that everything is a spiritual battle, and that's not correct. Okay, we'll see that in Scripture. If your toaster keeps burning your toast, it's not because it's possessed and the devil has a hold of that thing. It's because you need to buy a new toaster. Okay, but there are those that can fall on that side, and that's a very dangerous place to be. Hey, we need to be aware of that. But on the other side, there are those that don't see anything going on, that just think that's just part of life, that it's just because that's the way that life is, and don't recognize that there is a battle for their soul. And so they go through unaware that something bigger is at stake. You got one person, you know, casting the demons out of their iPhone. You got the other one thinking, you know what, there's no big deal. This is just life. I don't need to change or be aware of anything. And we need to know, where is the line? If it means our life and death spiritually, if it means eternity, then how do we know? How do we know when there's a fight that we are going to learn what to do? Where is the line? And Paul, in the book of Ephesians, gives us some great insight to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says this. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." And to understand this, I want to back up a little bit and touch on what we talked about last week. Because we touched on this idea that there are two parts to you, okay? There is the part of you that is the flesh, okay? That is what we touch. That is what we feel, that is what we hear, that is what we see. It is the temporary, it's what we know, it's how we act, it's the realm that we live in, right? That is part of us. Just to make sure, pinch yourself, see if you feel it, okay? Everybody pinch themselves, don't pinch the person sitting next to you, pinch yourself. Okay, that's the flesh, okay? That's the flesh. That is part of you. There's nobody going to argue about that. That's the part of you. But there is another part of you that is just as real and just as part of you, and that is the spiritual side of you. That you are both flesh and there you are both spirit. We talk about our body. We talk about our soul. I get these right. I want to make sure that I'm okay. All right. Put them in the right place. Got them backwards. Okay. This is the part that lives forever. This is the eternal part. This is the temporary part. Okay. Now here's the important part. These are both you. There is no separating these. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to ignore the spiritual part of me. You can't do that. It's part of you. Nor can you just say, well, I'm just going to be so spiritual and just live, oh, okay, and ignore my flesh. You can't. Okay? You still have to eat and live indoors, okay? There's the part of us that's there. But there's also the part that says there is something bigger and greater than just my time here on earth. It's greater than just how I feel. It's greater than just what I see. There is something more than that. We showed a verse last week that says, you know, don't just look on things that you can see. keep your eyes on things that you can't see. Okay, there's something greater going on. So there are two parts of you. They are connected. Now, what happens in one is reflected in the other. What happens in the spiritual realm is reflected in the natural. Let me give you an example. That God, in the spiritual realm, gives us joy. He gives us peace. That is from God. God is a spirit. It comes from Him. It's a spiritual thing. But yet we feel it in the natural. Hey, we're all worried. We're tense. We pray, God, give me peace. Give me peace. And God gives us peace from the spiritual. What do? It's reflected in the natural. We experience it. Okay? Okay? In the same way, what happens in the natural has an effect in the spiritual. They're connected. I can get down on my knees and I can begin to say words to my God and take my needs in a very physical way. I am doing something physically. I am kneeling. I am praying. I am speaking. And if I look at it from just that realm, it's just nothing. I'm just saying words. I'm making a request. But we know in truth, and we've all experienced it, that when we pray, there is something powerful that happens in the spiritual. Prayer is powerful. It makes a difference. They are connected. Okay? You can't disconnect them. Now, here is something so important. They are connected, but the cause and the effect may not be logical. Turn to somebody and say, it may not make sense. Let me give you an example. Something very negative in the flesh is hunger. Hunger is not a positive feeling. No one has ever come up to you and say, I am so hungry. And you go, well, good for you. Right? Hunger is a negative thing. But hunger, when applied in fasting, a negative flesh thing, is an incredibly powerfully positive thing in the spiritual side. Okay? Connected, but may not make logical sense. Well, it's negative here, but it's positive here. In the same way that something can be negative here, can be negative, can be positive, or seem positive over here. Okay? Maybe you've not experienced this, but I know I have. I have had people thank God for a relationship that He sent them. Oh, I thank God He sent me this guy or this girl. And what happens later is that relationship is what pulls them out of church. Here it is, something, an attack on their soul being manifested in a physical way, and it looks positive. But yet, as time goes on, it can be a negative. So they are connected. But we have to be very, very, very careful on how we judge what is going on. That is why we look to Scripture. Scripture gives us clarity. We have to be careful. And Paul is giving us the right perspective from this passage. He's saying, look, that we're in a fight, but it's not defined by this. Just because it's bad doesn't mean that it is bad. And just because it is good does not mean that it is good. It is not defined by our flesh, but something different is going on. And the fight originates, and the fight truly exists in the spiritual, the eternal. It's where our true value lies. And Paul says, you need to be aware of this. You need to be aware of this. And he gives us this key principle. This is so important. And if you're taking notes, this is what you need to write down. A spiritual fight. What we're talking about here, what this whole series is going to be about, what we need to be aware about, what we don't need to be surprised in. We're going to learn what we need to do. A spiritual fight cannot be identified by its fleshly or natural appearance, but by its spiritual objective. A spiritual fight cannot be identified by its flesh, how it looks, appearance, but by its spiritual objective. And in this verse, Paul gives us this direction. He says, and this is a key point here. Again, if you're taking notes, write this down. The key is to truly recognize what the fight is over. It's not about the flesh. It's not about the temporary. The fight is a spiritual thing for your soul, which is eternal. That's what the battle is over. Satan gets no points for giving you a bad day. Satan gets no points from taking your stuff away. That's temporary. That's not what this is about. The battle is for your soul, the eternal. Let me give you an example in real life. Now I'm going to use a very positive example to illustrate a very negative point. For those of you that are parents, there are things that we want to get our kids to do. There are behaviors that we want our children to do. And sometimes we reward them to get them to do that. If you do that, I'll give you an ice cream cone. If you do that, you know, you can go, you know, to the event. If you do that, you know, I'll pay you a dollar or pay you an allowance or, you know what, you can buy that. Sometimes we reward them. Other times we punish them. If you don't do that, you're grounded. If you don't do that, you're going to write sentences. If you don't do that, then you know what? You ain't going. So we reward and we punish. But it's not about the reward and the punishment. There is no quota for grounding in parenting. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I got to, you know, you got to be grounded at least once a month. I'm sorry, I got to ground you. It's not the way it works. It's all about the behavior, isn't it? We're trying to get them to behave in a certain way or to produce something that we want them to do. And so sometimes we reward and sometimes we punish because the goal is the behavior. Now, the same thing works in our life. Satan is after your soul. He wants your soul. And so sometimes he will punish you to try to take it. He'll put us through hard times. He'll put us through situations, put us through sickness, put us through fights, put us through conflict, put us through things where we begin to doubt God. He can punish us. Sometimes he rewards us. Hey, here's a cute girl. Hey, here's a new boyfriend. Here's a new job. Here's a new opportunity. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? But understand this. It's not about how it's manifested here. It all goes back to what is truly at stake, your soul. And we miss it when we begin to judge based upon the physical or the flesh that we say, well, it's a good thing. It can't be bad. Well, it's a bad thing. It can't be good. And we miss the perspective that he's saying, wait a second, the fight isn't defined here. The fight is defined here because it's your soul that's at stake. So be careful as we are judging and looking, is this a fight or not? Do I need to change my behavior? Do I need to alter my course? Because I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to be surprised and miss out. I don't want to be put at a disadvantage. God has given me the tools. I can't miss it when we are making that decision. Have the proper perspective. So again, spiritual fight can't be identified by its natural appearance. The key is to recognize what the fight is over. Okay, and we look at it from that. It's our soul. So I want to give you a question to help clarify. When we are looking at situations, when we are looking at good or bad, when we are looking at anything coming at us, do we say, is this a fight that I need to be aware of? Is this a fight that we need to be aware of? And again, it's based upon what we're seeing from Paul's writing, seeing what he's telling us, where the fight is, where the value is, what the goal is. And the goal, it said, is to capture your soul. That's it. And so the question that we can use to help us understand better, is this a fight or not? It's real simple. The question is this. Does this have the potential to capture my soul? Does this have the potential to capture my soul? The question isn't, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this a trial that I'm going through, or is this a blessing that looks like from God? That's not the question. We will miss it. We can be deceived that way. The question is this, does this have the potential to capture my soul? So what does that look like? It's things like this. Does this have the potential to pull me out of church? Does this have the potential to lessen my time with God? Does this have the potential to put my kingdom and what I want ahead of God's kingdom? Does this have the potential to lower my morals? Does this have the potential to allow things that I know I shouldn't have in my life? Does this have the potential to pull me out of contributing to the kingdom of God, whether it be financially or talent or time or whatever it is that God has gifted us with? Does this have the potential to remove me from what I know God's plan is for me? Does this have the potential to influence what I know is true in Scripture? If it's not moving me forward, then recognize it for what it is. It's a fight. It's a fight. Because at first glance, it might look fine. But we need to realize that Satan, our enemy, is a deceiver. He is trying to trick us. He is trying to deceive us. And if he can make us feel that there's no fight and there's no need to change, then he is at a huge advantage. So he will do everything to deceive at every chance. It's the way he's worked from the beginning. Look at this, from the very beginning. Look at this, next verse. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." We all see how that worked out, didn't we? Deceive, right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. And so in the New Testament, they use this same thing as an anchor. And look at this in 2 Corinthians. "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve," and this is Paul talking to the church, he's talking to church people, "that I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to God." He says, "I'm afraid that you're going to be deceived because you're up against an enemy that is a deceiver. You're up against an enemy that is trying to capture your soul. And he's trying to deceive you. He's trying to make it look like there's nothing wrong or that you shouldn't change anything. That everything is good. Oh, this is good. It's wonderful." Realize you're up against a deceiver. He says, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid." And he goes on. Look at this next verse. This is so powerful. "And no wonder, for even what? Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, making it seem like, oh, well, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity. And all the while, we're using our flesh to judge what is actually an attack on our soul." Because Satan is a deceiver. He's a deceiver. It's the way he works. In fact, he is so confident in this that this is the way that he attacked Jesus. This is so powerful. I was studying for this. It's just so amazing. Okay, here's the thing. Jesus is going into his ministry, and we know these passages. You've probably read these before. "And after fasting 40 days." Now, the key word here is this. What? What's the word? What's the second word? After. Key to remember this. The fast is done. Okay? Hold that thought. "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was" what? "Hungry." And we're like, no duh, okay? That's given. That's a given. He was hungry. But look how this goes. "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.'" I'm just going to go through the rest of the verses here. Verse 4. "And he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Hold that scripture right there. Because here's the thing. What is going on? Jesus is done fasting. What is the thing that you do after you are done not eating? You eat, right? Okay, I'm done not eating, which means what? I can now eat. Here's the thing. Satan asked him to do what he was probably getting ready to do anyway. Eat. Consume something. Here's an important thing. From the flesh, this wasn't even a temptation. I'm done fasting. I mean, the real work was at day 37 and day 12 and day 39 when I thought I was going to pass out. I'm done. Woohoo! Drive-through city. From the flesh, this looks like it's not an issue. I'm going to eat anyway. But Jesus understood, and he gives us this incredible insight. He says, oh, no, no, we can't look at it from just this perspective, because it may look fine from this perspective, but realize there is something bigger going on here. And Jesus recognizes this is a battle for my soul. This is a battle for his deity. This is a battle for the ultimate authority. There is a battle going on. To be tempted to try to destroy what Christ is going on. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And he uses a very natural, good thing to tempt. This is the way that Satan works. It's the way he attacked Christ. It's the way that he attacks us. And this is so important to understand, because oftentimes we come up to a fight and we don't realize it's a fight, and our first response is this: it's not an issue. That's not a problem. Especially with positive things, that we allow the reward and the blessing that we see to hide the potential risk to our soul. And what I would say to that is, warning, 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 you are up against a deceiver. You are up against a liar. Realize what is going on. You are trying to be deceived. You are trying to be made unaware. How many paths away from God began with the statement, I can handle this. I won't let that happen. You know, I got that new job and I'm going to be missing church, but you know what? I won't let it wreck my relationship with God. You know, I'm dating this person outside of church, but I won't let him influence my walk with God. You know, I don't have time to serve now that this opportunity is given, but you know what? I just feel like it's a gift from God. Warning, warning, warning. The potential is there. Don't be fooled. It's a fight. We go back to the question, does this have, and this is the key word, the potential. The potential. If it has the potential, recognize it for what it is. It's a fight. And God gives us a plan to say, okay, I see that. This is how I need to respond. This is how I need to act. This is what I need to do. The purpose in Scripture, the purpose of this, is to recognize and act accordingly. If we don't see it for what it is, we have the ability to just walk right into an ambush and not even see it coming. That when we see a fight, when we see that there's potential, well, we're going to discover these next few weeks, okay, here's what I need to do. Here's how I need to face it. Here's what I need to do. That God promises victory. But don't miss the fight. Don't miss the fight. Now, I'm closing, and I'm closing with this, because this is important. There are areas when we have a choice, and there is the potential for our soul to be captured. That does not mean that we should automatically say no and run. Please understand that. We're going to talk about that as we dig into this. Please understand that maybe God, there's an opportunity for a job, and there may be a time where you're going to miss some church. We can say, well, it has the potential to take away my soul. No, no, evil, evil, evil. That's not what I'm talking about here. That's faulting on the other side. What I am saying is this, is that when we recognize the potential, then we must begin to follow God's plan. And over these next couple of weeks, we're going to discover God's plan. And when we do, the beautiful thing is in doing this, we find clarity, we find direction, we find strength so that we make the right choice. Sometimes God wants to take us through something. He says, you know what, there is a fight, but by doing it my way, there's victory on the other side. Other times God says, no, that's just wrong. You should remove yourself from that. The problem that I'm talking about tonight is when we are totally unaware. When we say, oh, well, hey, I got this new job. Yeah, I'm going to be missing church, but I'm not going to let it bother me. And I'm not going to change anything that I'm doing. I'm just going to keep doing life the way that I'm doing it. And we end up being pulled away and destroyed. That we allow those things. You're being attacked. You're under attack. But there is a way that God has given us to give you victory. And I want to close with this last verse is this. It's just so powerful. That you are of God, little children. He just kind of sums it up. And have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I know this, is that when I follow God's way, God is victorious every time. God's purpose isn't for me to lose my soul to the enemy. And if I'm willing to do things his way, that there is victory every time. But I know this, when I try to do it on my own and I think I've got it all figured out and I'm going to, you know, just ignore God's way and think that I can do it, I'll never make it. Can't do it. Can't do it. So we look in Scripture tonight. Recognize when there is a fight. Recognize when there is the risk. So we go back to that question. Is there a potential for my soul to be captured? And we begin to ask that question, and we begin to uncover all kinds of things that are potential fights. They say, oh, wait a second. This is risk. I need to do what God tells me to do so that I can either navigate around it or navigate through it. But regardless, I want my soul to be in God's hands. I don't want what is the most valuable thing that I have to be captured and destroyed by an enemy that hates me and is trying to do everything to deceive me. When we begin looking, and this is what we're going to discover, you're going to realize that you are under attack a whole lot more than what you even realized. Just like us on our website, and this is the perfect example, we had no clue. We had no clue. I mean, sometimes 200-300 times a month, somebody trying to hack into our website, no clue. But we're aware. And we're doing what we need to do. When you begin to look at all of the things that comes your way in life, you're going to see all kinds of opportunities that has the potential to capture your soul. It's like, oh, I didn't realize it was this extensive. I didn't realize the battle was this big. You need to realize you are the most valuable thing that there is. So there's a huge battle that you're not even aware of, but God has given you what it takes. And again, over these next couple of weeks, we're going to learn step by step. So when we say, oh, danger, danger, danger. Okay, here's what I need to do. Step one, step two, step three. And on the other side of it said, yeah, hey, I'm under attack all the time. But you know what? Greater is he that's within me than anything outside trying to destroy me. My soul is safe in him. No surprises. No surprises. God wants you to remain faithful, and he's given you everything that you need. All right? Okay. Okay, we have some questions tonight for our groups. And Starla, if you could lead a group. If Lynn, if you could lead a group, thank you. If Pete, if you could lead a group. And Dad, if you could lead a group as well. And we looked to put this into practice. There's a fight. There's a fight. But there's a way to start a fight. And we want to do it God's way because we want to win. We want to win. Let's stand and we'll pray, dismiss, and let God speak into our life. Jesus, thank you so much for the power of your word and how you teach us and lead us. God, we don't even begin to understand the value that we have. We are a life so valuable that you came from heaven and robed yourself in flesh and gave your life in the most painful way, in the most embarrassing way, in the most humiliating way possible to pay the ransom for our soul. We are that valuable. But God, help us to realize that there is a fight. We don't want to be ignorant. But God, let us realize that there is a way that you've given us. Be aware of what is going on so that we are not tricked, so that we are not fooled into giving up and losing what you have given us and paid such a dear price for. Thank you for the power of your word, the power of your way. We say thank you. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.